All right, welcome back to LMFAO Sport, the podcast, episode 2. If you're listening, if you're watching, however you might be, you know, listening to what we have to say, thank you. Thank you for sticking out the first one. Thank you for sticking out the second one. I hope you're entertained. How about NFL Sunday? I mean, I don't even know where to start. Nando, maybe we'll jump right in with your Steelers, huh?
Man.
How about that dub over
what a day.
Over the Bucks?
What a day for Steeler Nation. Super excited to catch a win, especially against the Bucks. I kind of was starting to chalk this season up as just going to be one of those rough ones you're just trying to get through first season post Ben. But, you know, defense played lights out. Kenny Pickett, first quarter touchdown since week 10 of last year. So started off hot, kind of got quiet. Mitch Trubisky comes in, just gives him the spark, ends up getting a touchdown to Chase Claypool, two big third down conversions to pretty much end the game from there. So, man, it was great. We really needed that, honestly. So,
I remember I was making fun of you guys last week.
You were.
Remember last week at the end, mm-hmm. I said the game I'm excited most for is Bucks Steelers because you guys are going to get smoked.
Yep, I remember that.
And that was like, that was yeah. I bet you're just waiting for. Once you saw them winning, you're like, oh, I can't wait. I can't wait
my
to tell them about
my exact words when you said that were, I'm not excited for it either. So I was on the same page as you, man. I was with you.
Well here's the question, though. Are the Steelers actually good, or did they just play Tom Brady going through divorce? And was it worth Tom Brady coming back for another year to just lose to the Steelers, led by Mitch Trubisky in week six?
I want to know what that halftime locker room sounded like.
Well, you know, just right before the half, right before the second half, he was laying into his lineman. I like to imagine he was just like, I came back from a divorce. I lost my wife for you. Ruined
I
my
left
marriage
my kids.
For this. Yeah, I left my kids for this. To lose
and
to
I
Mitch
can't
Trubisky.
Get 2 seconds in the pocket.
Yeah, just... It was just to lose to the Nickelodeon MVP, the MVP.
Yeah. Pittsburgh, baby. True.
Those Nickelodeon games, by the way...
Something
awesome.
Else.
When did those come back?
Yeah, if anything, I think that the NFL should just get rid of the Amazon Prime game and just replace it with the Nickelodeon game.
The slime monster that would come on field and like the slime cannons. It was so funny. Those were the best games.
Yeah, but honestly, that's actually, I think, this is my proposition to fix Amazon Thursday night games, is get rid of the Amazon game and just make it the Nickelodeon slime game. And with Amazon's direct shipping and quick shipping, they can just direct ship slime to everybody. Mm-hmm. Everybody gets slime dropped off on their doorstep. It's a whole family affair. It's the Nickelodeon Amazon Prime Slime Fest Thursday night football game. And just play into the game sucking. Like, it's just going to be the slime shit show every Thursday night. Just the two shittiest teams in the league playing each other every Thursday night.
Just duking it. You know,
honestly,
though. Oh, sorry, Nando, you go first.
Oh, I was going to circle us back to Tom Brady and his divorce. Ironic, he went to a wedding on Friday, skipped team practices, ended up missing the flight with the team, ends up showing up on his own. You have to wonder, I think, how much of that played a role alongside with the fact that he's going through a divorce.
That's a really good point, that he's committed enough to like miss Friday walkthroughs to go to someone else's wedding.
Yep.
It isn't committed enough to go to like his.
It's like, where does he draw the line?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, where's the line? Does he just kind of make, like, it makes no sense.
I can't figure out Tom Brady's morals and if he even has any.
Let's not even.
Yeah, right? I think that's been the most interesting thing.
Well, if you want.
This whole thing is like.
If you want to question morals, I mean, we're talking about Robert Kraft marrying a 30-year-old individual.
Well, she's a doctor.
Oh, okay. Right.
So she's probably mature for her age.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, man, you're going to support your previous owner, which is cool and all, but you're supporting a marriage in which the guy was like in his mid-30s when she was born. So, I mean...
Oh, yeah, that's like a Game of Thrones marriage.
Yeah, so, I mean...
That is like some...
If it was a Game of Thrones marriage, though, it was a terrible move by Robert Kraft, because there's no political reasoning for him marrying a 30.
Maybe Robert Kraft was the GOAT for the MVP for the Steelers game. I mean, he's a reason.
Amen. Maybe. Honestly, though, I think if you look at the games this week, though, like there were so, you know, you had the Jets beating the Packers dominantly. You had the Patriots going to town. Mm. And, you know, Zappy. kind of going at it.
Is Zappe good?
I wonder who.
I think he's better than Mac Jones.
Remember who you got last week? I talked about Mac Jones, Zappe, and everyone was like, "Nah, you're just falling in line with all the other."
I stand by my opinion. Bailey Zappe is serviceable. He is not like a long term solution at starting quarterback. He's not the next Tom Brady. He didn't come in for an injured Drew Bledsoe. He's just winning games against bad teams. The Lions stink, and so do the Browns
and the Packers.
And he beat two bad teams.
He did drop three.
The Packers are solid.
He lost to them. He did.
I don't know. And I think the narrative is probably going to continue because he's going to beat the Bears next week, who also stink. But I'm curious to see what happens when he plays a good team against the Jets, which is weird to say that the Jets are a good team, but they are. That'll be the real test, because I guarantee you he beats the Bears, because the Bears are even worse than the Lions and the Browns somehow. But can he beat the Jets, who are a good team, I guess?
I also wonder, like, you know, the Jets with Saleh have really been sort of an experiment up until this point. And Zach Wilson, everyone wrote him off last year, so I kind of think they might actually be a dangerous team. They're kind of playing with house money all the time, it feels like.
Well, Zach Wilson's got that dog in.
Yeah, he does. He really does.
Certified. Yeah, he has the certification.
So
I think that dog. Was that the turning point for the Jets? It's just their quarterback, like, having sex?
No, I mean, Zach Wilson didn't do it. Let's not get it twisted. Zach Wilson did nothing against the Packers. He had, like, 100 yards. He went for like 10 for 18.
But he did enough.
But he is that guy.
But he is that guy.
But he is him, to be fair. Yeah, he had like no touchdowns today.
Sticking with the AFC East, my favorite storyline out of the AFC East this week is the ping pong debacle with the Miami Dolphins, where the Dolphins took the ping pong tables out of their locker room, because apparently the team loves to play ping pong, took them out, and then the head coach was like, you know, praised the captains for taking the ping pong tables out of the locker room so that the whole team could focus in. And then that very night, Tyreek Hill was like streaming for 3 hours. And then the next day, a reporter at his locker room was like, "So, like, you know, why did you decide to take the tables out?" And he was just like, "Oh, well, I decided, you know, we needed better ping pong tables. So I took them out so we could get custom ones."
Yes. Hilarious.
And then they just lost again. Yeah. And the L's just keep stacking up in Miami. And what I think is interesting, I said this at the beginning of the season, is that I think that they have a lot of talent, but they don't have a lot of leadership. I wasn't curious to see what happens when everything's going well in Miami. I was curious to see what happened when shit hit the fan, because shit is certainly hitting the fan and they are not responding well. I mean, the idea to name Tyreek Hill as your captain is absolutely ridiculous. Yes, he came from the Chiefs, who have a strong culture, but he was not the reason they had a strong culture whatsoever. Who names Tyreek Hill their captain? Like, what was the logic behind that? I think things are going to start to fall apart down in South.
I mean, they've already started. They very much already have started, you know.
I just don't see them turning it around. Like, I don't see them getting back to where they were as that team that beat the Bills in week 3.
I mean, they have a good test. Well, I wouldn't even call it a test. They have a good game coming up against the Steelers, my Steelers, next week. So
that'll be a good game.
I would hope so, especially coming off the win that we just had. But I think, you know, part of it, too, is losing Tua is huge for them. I think it was more impactful.
Obviously, right.
And so, you know, coming into next week with Tua's return and the Steelers' defense probably still being hampered, are they able to kind of rebuild some of that offensive chemistry back and kind of get the ball rolling again? Because that defense was pretty good to start the season, if not, like, top, at least top 10.
I don't get the Mike McDaniel hype, honestly. He just seems like an absolute clown to me. Like, every interview, he just seems like a, he screams just like his whole look and persona and everything just screams like Silicon Valley guy who's like trying to sell me something. Like he just made the next hot app, or like he thinks it's the next hot app, but it's not. It's just like trying to sell me fool's gold.
Yep.
And then I can't get over naming Tyreek Hill as your captain. Like that guy is not a leader. That guy beat his girlfriend. Like, how do you name that guy the captain of your team? Like, I just think that it's a Mickey Mouse organization down there. And
that's a good
this is what you get when shit hits the fan. It's not like how do you look when everything's going well? It's how do you look when things aren't going well? Mm-hmm. And like going back to the Patriots, they're on their third string QB and have won back to back games. Like that I think is more indicative of like, yeah, your culture and like how good you are as a coach as well, is not like when everything's perfect, are you good? And same thing with quarterbacks, like, or anyone. It's like not like a measure of how good you are isn't like how you do when everything's going great. It's how do you react when things aren't going well, and things are not going well in Miami. And I think it's just going to keep spiraling out of control, which personally I'm excited for, because it's going to be hilarious to watch as we learn more about the ping pong debacle. Personally, I hope Tyreek Hill is like posting it to his IG story once, you know, they're rolling in the custom ping pong.
Oh, they're going to be sick. They're going to be awesome, by the way. Yeah. They're going to be dope. Like, they're going to be like 5 grand tables.
Yeah, they're going to be the sickest ping pong tables of all time. I'm going to be so jealous. And it's
I loved it, though. I loved that story when the narrative was that Tyreek took out the ping pong tables to focus and then just went home and played Fortnite for hours. I think I would have loved it if the story stayed there, you know? If it was just like Tyreek's like, guys, we're in grind set mode. We're letting out the dog now. He just starts cranking 90s in Fortnite.
All night. Yeah.
Just beating 12-year-olds that have their computer time for the night and calls it a day.
What an absolute clown. But
See the thing like with McDaniels is the start of the season I loved him at the start of the season because it was so funny, but then I realized I'm not laughing with this guy, I'm just laughing at him, and is just like, he really is just a clown. And while I do like the mix up, because usually it's just a bunch of these
macho meathead
serious and it's just it's starting
it's to guys like Belichick or football. Like, what do you like to do for fun? Football. Yeah.
But I don't know. McDaniels.
Would you prefer to stay with your long term wife or football?
Football. You know? It's always football.
but the Dolphins did beat the Ravens, who once again choked this weekend. What the hell is going on in Baltimore? They just seem to magically find a way to choke every single game away. And the Ravens choked again.
Yeah, I don't know. It's insane, right? But I think, like, honestly, I'm a Ravens fan, but I think, like...
What are you doing here?
As much as, like...
Mine.
What?
We can't have two AFC North rivals in the same call right now. What the hell?
I don't know. The Ravens aren't looking like they're going to be rivaling anyone the way they're tossing it.
Fair enough.
But I will say that I am very happy... Detaching myself from the Ravens, I'm very happy to see teams like the Giants and the Jets winning. Like, being from, you know, growing up in Connecticut, having these teams always be bad and maybe, like, it's always all about the Patriots. And now it's like, wait, the Giants and Jets are actually, like, turning on the gas. I love to see it.
Like, an underdog who's not good. That's exactly why I was so pumped for Tennessee to beat Alabama this weekend. Not because I'm like, I don't know, I have no connection to Tennessee, zero, but Alabama just wins all the time. It's not fun rooting for the team that wins all the time. It's fun rooting for the team that beats the team that wins all the time. So yeah, I'm fired up, even though I hate the Jets, I hate the Giants, maybe even more. It's nice when the little guys win, when the little guys get a shot, you know, when Goliath goes down, it's fun to watch.
It was just last week we were talking about how New York sports was just in shambles. And now, a week later, we're all like, at least football-wise, I don't know if we're keeping that. But in terms of Lamar, I mean, I feel like these fourth-quarter collapses from this team constantly validate why they're not giving him the money that he's asking for. And it makes you wonder, like, man, like, what is he?
I don't know if they're necessarily his fault, though.
Well, I mean, listen, today he fumbles at what, the 30 at the end of the game, and when they have a chance to at least go down and try and make, I'm not saying they would have won that game, you know, but, you know, the fumble sold the game for him. Similarly, like last week, going for it on, for what, they went for fourth down and ended up getting an interception into the end zone, which ended up giving, was that the Bills when they ended up going and scoring the touchdown off of that? I mean, it's things like that where you start to ask yourself, like, man, like, this team is flawed somewhere, and we got to figure out where if you're the front office. But I don't know. I just feel like Lamar, for as hype as he is, for all the things he can do with his legs and how he's improved as a passer too, he's still having these moments where he just isn't consistent. He's not the consistent QB that you want him to be, especially if you're trying to win a Super Bowl, which the Ravens are definitely always trying to do.
Mm-hmm. But I do think that he's a top 10 quarterback. Oh, yeah. I think that he's an elite level quarterback. And I think that if you have one of those guys, you have to be willing to pay him, and you have to be willing to put the supporting cast around him that he needs to win a Super Bowl. And I don't think they've done either. Like, they haven't paid him, certainly. And yep. I don't necessarily know that the roster around him is, like, at the same level as the Bills or the Chiefs or any of these other top teams in the AFC that are hunting for a Super Bowl.
But it has, I don't think it's been from a lack of trying, though. I mean, they have Mark Andrews, they have Justin Tucker, which are two great, in their positions, great on their...
Come on, don't get me... Hold on. You can't say Justin Tucker's winning you a Super Bowl.
No, I know. I'm saying, like, they've tried to draft...
But that's your second guy, though.
I know, I'm just saying...
Mark Andrews, okay, but that's all they have on offense. Well, he doesn't have an elite wide receiver one. The offensive line's not great. He doesn't have a running back. Like,
it's not like they haven't tried, though, is what I'm saying. They did go out in the draft to get wide receivers. They've tried to do it in free agency, and it just has, none of them have worked out, which just sucks, of course. But if you're that guy for the Ravens, in Lamar Jackson, these are the moments that you can't give up. The Bills game was a moment you couldn't give up. Miami was especially one you couldn't give that up. And so, I'm just saying, how much longer, especially as a running first quarterback, well, I shouldn't say running first, a running quarterback, how much longer can he sustain that elite level of running before it starts to go down with age, with the hits, and he's not a consistent enough passer that it makes you wonder, well, this is why the Ravens don't want to sign you to that mega contract, because in 4 to 5 years, you might not be a Super Bowl caliber quarterback like he is right now.
Do you think that's the same thing that Golden State's pondering with Draymond Green right
Probably.
Now?
Probably.
Because, you know, you're a guy at the end of your, you know, how many more years we're going to get out of you at this elite level?
I think so. And honestly, like, the running quarterback just doesn't work or has yet to really work. Like, you look like Cam Newton, you know?
Didn't.
Like,
brought him to a Super Bowl, though. Like, I don't think it doesn't, like, I don't think it's certified doesn't.
I mean, yeah, because Mahomes, like, is Mahomes, like, can, but you look at someone like Mahomes, he's not like a running quarterback, but obviously is extremely mobile in the pocket, and can do crazy things when his O-line breaks down. But it's also like Lamar's running, like, comparable yards to his running back. Like, that's just, at what point is there, like, a divide and conquer kind of deal where, like, okay, look, you're the quarterback, you got to throw, you know, you can run it, but, like, leave the running to the running back. Like, I mean, it's...
But I think that's part of the Ravens' problem, though, is they don't have a competent running back back there. It's a backfield by committee, and nobody's in that committee can do much.
The thing with any quarterback in this league is if you have a running first quarterback, your window to win is extremely short compared to the passing first. Mahomes, Allen, all those guys are great, you know, leaving the pocket, doing their designed runs, scrambling. But what do they all have in common is they have great arms, they're accurate, and they're consistent. Mm-hmm. They can run, and that's a piece of their game, but it's not their first part of their game. Lamar is a run first quarterback, pass second. And the minute that his running ability isn't there, he's just, you know, it's just going to go down with him.
I will say, interesting to have. But it's like, it's almost like his superpower, right? Yep. It's almost like if he were an Avenger, he would just be the running guy. And it's cool to, like, have that diversity in the league. But yeah, so far, I don't know. It's it's really good when it works out, and it's really not good when it doesn't. Yeah. Like, you just kind of look stupid when it when it doesn't work out, as with anything, but, you know.
Neto, did you want to tell us a little bit about, like, everything going on with Dan Snyder? Because I'm only, you know, so informed about it.
I mean, like, vaguely, you know, caught up.
Listen, I mean, as we all know from earlier in the year, Dan Snyder's been, and that Commanders team has been through a lot of drama, accusations, just all the works. It's from sexual assault to toxic workplace, having them change their name because the Redskins was obviously, now in today's age, it's not an acceptable team name. It's just a team name. It's just a team name.
I just sent that clip to TMZ.
But obviously, one of the questions kind of one of the questions has been, why hasn't he been forced to sell? And recently, it's come out. It's been leaked. Supposedly, it's a leak, and it's not true, but it was probably true. That he said that he has dirt on everyone, pretty much all the owners and the commissioner. And if they try, they're not going to screw with him, because if they try to get rid of him, he's going to release all of it, and he's going to have the NFL pretty much fall to its knees. So, you know, my first,
it's so insane.
It's very insane, and I don't honestly doubt in some way that that's probably, there's a lot of truth to that. So, my first question when I heard about this was, is it a bad thing? I mean, there's a lot.
No, I hope he releases it. Like, I think that it's good to know, like, which of these, like, owners operating billion-dollar organizations are huge pieces of shit and which ones aren't. Mm-hmm. Like, and if he has that dirt, and I don't know, I kind of like the idea of him being like, I'm going down, I'm bringing you down with me.
Yeah.
You know, and let the league burn a little if it's going to burn, because, I mean, I don't know. I think we should know. And I there's no doubt in my mind that he's not the only one. Because as everything happened with Gruden as well, like, these guys are messaging back and forth. Like, there's some shady shit going on.
I think when you have that much money, there's just no way you're a good person. You know, it's very, you know, behind closed doors. I just can't even imagine. Like, I'm not a big Dan Snyder fan. But
I'll take a stand. I'm not a big Dan Snyder fan either.
I would say he's a big jerk.
Yeah, and I'd go as far as to say this is an anti Dan Snyder podcast.
Yeah. We're all in agreement.
But if he goes down, I'm not gonna say but, that makes it sound bad. I don't like Dan Snyder. When he goes down, I would prefer he brings down people with him.
Yeah.
Because I would bet my arms and legs he's not the only one. And I think just this is like it's just like such a lack of transparency that everyone knows when they, like, think about it, but no one thinks about it. No one's like, because they just want to watch football. But I personally would love just to see
it's not like he wasn't talking to the other owners. It's not like he wasn't talking to the commissioner. It's not like they didn't know this for years. Like, it's not like you're, I don't know. I feel like it's not like you're like, oh, that guy's a huge racist. Like, I had no idea. Like, I'm sure people knew, like, oh, this guy's kind of a piece of shit. Like,
I mean, it's the same way with, you know, when people talk about, like, diversity in the coaching circle or, you know, all of this summer was talking about Miami's owner trying to tamper with getting Tom Brady and Sean Payton.
Right.
Things like that. There's always been shady little nuggets that come out about owners. And, you know, it makes you wonder, because some things are obviously going to get leaked. Some things are obviously going to be kind of out there, reported on. But it makes you wonder, how much is it? You know, how much is being paid off to stay hidden? You know, and I think it's a good – as much as I, you know, don't like Dan Snyder, and we've all agreed he's a scumbag, I'd be okay with him doing it. I'm kind of rooting for him to do it at this point.
Whoa, clip that out of context.
I'm rooting for Dan Snyder. Clip that.
I'm rooting for it, yeah.
Yeah, clip that.
No, but I mean, I am too. Talking about, like, anti-hero, it's like, he might be the face of it. Like, if he did that, it would be like,
Dan Snyder's kind of like the Joker.
Yeah. Speaking of people who hate their owners, Draymond Green can't be happy with his right now. Oh. Did you guys like that transition?
That was a great transition.
That was a good one.
Tell us about it.
Yeah, I mean, Jordan Poole and Andrew Wiggins just signed a $100 million multi-year extensions, which all but certifies that Draymond Green is out. And he didn't get suspended at all for Superman punching Jordan Poole in the face, which is insane. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are saying, from what I've been reading, is that Poole was expected to get in that like Andrew Wiggins range of like 113 over 4 years, and that the jump for him was kind of like almost like hush money for just taking for the Draymond punch. Like, people are saying basically the punch was like a $10 million punch that he took. Like, he just got $10 million added to his contract because of the Draymond Green is a lot of what I'm seeing.
He could punch NBA me in the circles. Face for like $100. Making out like a bandit.
Yeah.
He could right hook me in the face and give me $50. I wouldn't do anything.
It begs the question, how much would you take a Draymond Green Superman punch to the face for? My number would be significantly less than $10 million.
Yeah,
not even in the same ballpark.
$10 million. $10 million. I'd take like five in a row.
Oh, he would. He could send me to the hospital for $10 million. Like, I couldn't have working use of one of my feet.
But I am
like, oh, sweet. That's still a sweet deal. I think for one punch, I'm not even on the same like astral plane as $10 million. I would like, honestly, realistically, no, like, 100 like 3 months rent. 100, like, I'm notoriously low with this stuff because, like, I think about realistically, if someone on the street were like, "Hey, here's $100, I'll punch you."
That's too low. I wouldn't do it for $100, but I might do it for like $5,000.
Wow, I'd do it.
That might be as low as I'd.
No, you guys.
Even then, I don't know. I got to think through it though. Like, then you got to go to work with a black eye the next day. Everybody's gonna ask you about it. But then I guess you're just like, yeah, I took a Draymond Green Superman
here's
in his face for $5,000.
Here's the question, though. Can you tell people about it? Because if you can't, then I think you have to up the money. But if you can, I feel like you can ride off of that for a while.
Yeah,
I say you can't. I think it's just like, you just get, it's just, you just get punched in the face. It's just you take a Draymond Green punch and no one really knows about it.
In that case, my number would probably be higher. Mm-hmm. Like $25,000 or something.
Yeah. Oh my god.
I'd go like $25,000, $30,000. Too much. Listen, if you're gonna pay me to be hush
I
mean,
but Jordan Poole did it for $10 million. Is basically what happened.
No, like I'm not even kidding. I like $500. Like I don't like he. I don't like he punches. You just get punched in the face. Like, okay, so theoretically, you don't get any permanent brain damage, right?
Yeah, hypothetically,
I mean, like no permanent damage. No hospital bills, anything like that. Punch me in the face, knock me out. $500. Yeah.
Right in your pocket.
Set up in my pocket. Bed. Just put it in my pocket, and then I wake up after I black out. I'm like, oh, sweet. It's not a bad deal. Wow. But yeah, I'm kind of embarrassed, actually, how how low.
We're
like $30,000? That's insane.
Austin and I are talking about like new car money, and you're just like, yeah, I'll do it for like a sandwich.
I'm like talking about like maybe groceries for 6 months or something.
This will cover my insurance for like a few months.
Yeah, like a few. Yeah,
I'm thinking about like
2 months.
I
mean, like, look, I would take $30,000. To be fair.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm fired up now. We can for agree. Everything going on with the Warriors because it's just going to make for such good. It's like Shakespearean drama at this point. Like,
oh, people are going to read into everything.
Oh, and just like
everything
well,
that
they're
happens.
Also at their like pinnacle right now, and it's always fun rooting on the downfall. And I hope that and like there's
it's
no reason
pleasure.
That they can't just like, you know, like trade Draymond and like get more draft picks or more assets or whatever, and they'll be totally fine. But like Clay might not be as good. Jordan Poole might not be as good as you think he's going to be. Like, can Andrew Wiggins sustain this? Who knows? And who's to say it doesn't all blow up all in their face? which is kind of what I'm rooting for because it just makes it a lot more exciting. But I do know, I am pretty confident that Draymond Green is traded by the trade deadline. Like, there's no way they can keep him around because they can't re-sign him at the end of the year after just paying all these guys. There's no way, right? It doesn't make any sense.
But why wouldn't you ban? Like, why would you care about, you know, not even like banning him for a couple games? Like,
yeah, why? No suspension is crazy.
If you're
like, no suspension is insane.
If you're gonna trade him,
that's absurd.
You can't just punch somebody in the face for like. And I've seen some takes that are like, you know, Jordan Poole initiated it because he pushed him. Like, dude, what if somebody's in your face like that? You push them away. Like, you're like, dude, get out of my face. And then they respond with a Superman punch. It's cuckoo banana.
I saw on a comment for one of our like polls about Draymond Green, and it was something along. This was a commonly held belief that was like, yeah, it's time to toughen up the youngins. You're an insane person.
No.
You should be in a padded cell. God, what war did you serve that, though, in that lefty like that? That is crazy.
In their life, have never even seen a fight in their life. No. Like, yeah, this generation soft. This will toughen them up. Yeah, Superman punch to the face without any warning. Well,
I think that's the worst thing. Right, I think is this fake kind of understanding of what fights are.
Yeah,
like it's people it's die. Insane. It is not like it's not like this. You're in like a Greece or something and you punch someone to get the girl and then you ride off in a car that flies in the sky. No, you go to the hospital and you get charges.
Oh, I thought when you said Greece, you were talking about like ancient Greece. I thought you were talking about like Sparta.
No, different. Because
in that case, it is like that. Well, that's when you're like, this isn't Greece. You don't punch somebody in the face. And I was like,
oh, no, that's just what they do in Greece.
Yeah, that was 300.
Over in Greece, that's just how things work.
Yeah, actually, right now, that's actually what makes Giannis so good. That's why Giannis is so good. He knows that.
Yeah, it's just this Looney Tunes world where you like hit people with giant hammers and nothing happens.
But wait, so I'm rooting against the Warriors this upcoming season, but I've also decided to start rooting against Wrexham FC. I don't know if you guys have been following the...
No, explain this. I saw this.
So Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney decided to buy a fifth division English soccer team. They're the oldest professional soccer team in the world, but they're way past their heyday and are now in the fifth division. But in English soccer, you can, unlike American sports, you can like level up. So essentially think that they're like, imagine that this team is in like three divisions below MLB. Like MLB is probably the best way to explain it. So like, you know, MLB has AA, AAA, A. They're basically in the division if there was a division below A. Like I don't know what that would be, but that's what they're in. But imagine
beer
if
beer league.
They're basically in beer league right now.
Okay.
Professional beer league. And imagine if you like won professional beer league, you could go up to single A, and then if you win single A, you can go up to double A and triple A, and eventually be in MLB. So that's how English soccer works. So Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds decided to buy the oldest soccer team in the world with the hopes of bringing it all the way up to the Premier League, which is insanely hard because you're not bringing in the money that any of these Premier League teams are. And it's like, the documentary was good that they had on Hulu. I just finished watching the whole thing.
I'm not caught up on any of this, so I don't know anything about this.
There were episodes that were hit or miss, but basically just followed the team in their like first season of owning the team. And spoiler alert, they don't get
in the Premier League
promoted. they don't get promoted at all. They don't get promoted at all. You can only go up one division at a time, but they don't get promoted at all. And they're like devastated. You can tell Rob McElhenney is like so pissed about it. Rob McElhenney's way more invested in it than Ryan Reynolds is. Like they lose, and Rob's like, "Fuck!" Like I thought. Like,
Ryan Reynolds
actually
just
do
like
it. And Ryan's like,
checks.
Ryan's like, "Hey, yeah, you guys gave it your all out there." And Rob's like, "Fuck, man. Like, I think you fucking try a little bit harder, score some fucking golds." And Ryan's like, "We'll get him next year, right?"
I wouldn't be able to take it. Like the wacky Ryan Reynolds, like. goofy thing is your team is just tanking. Oh, I'd go crazy.
And but it's so like American centric to me to think like, yeah, we can just go and buy a team and we'll make them the best ever. To think like you can't, like the thought process behind that of like, oh, we'll just take a fifth division team and throw some money at it and they'll be good. It's, I'm kind of like, fuck them. I kind of hope they never make it out of the fifth.
Yeah, that's very much how like 6-year-olds think,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's not like a grown adult thinking process. No.
It's like, very much a like millionaire with a fuck ton of money thinking like, oh, I can soccer? What, they call it football? They don't know football.
Yeah, they think they're like there. Ted Lasso. Like,
yeah, they literally think that they're Ted Lasso. This is like them thinking that they can turn themselves into Ted Lasso and like, neither of them know anything about soccer. They keep like cutting to them in the documentary. And it's not even like advanced soccer stuff. It's just like, it'll be like Rob McElhenney be like, oh, that's offsides? What's offsides? And it's like, dude.
No, did you say that?
Yeah, dude, it's stuff like that. And they're like, so that's a corner kick? I'm like, dude, why did you guys buy a team in a sport you know absolutely nothing about? When you, the whole thought process behind buying this team is this like Looney Tunes idea that you can take them from the fifth division all the way up to the Premier League. It's like mind-boggling to me. And the fact that they are just like millionaires who put no thought into it makes me want to root against them. At first, when I was watching it, I was like, I kind of hope they do it. And they really get you. They sell you on the like
no, that's how they want you to think.
Yeah, and then I was like, you know what? Fuck these guys. I hope they never get out of the fifth division. I hope Wrexham stinks forever.
It's in the purgatory of fifth division.
I hope they never get out.
You know, that would they be just like binge watched. They binge watched like Ted Lasso and they're like, yo.
Oh, 100%. Yo, there's an episode where Ted Lasso goes to a game and they're like, we can't lose. Ted Lasso's there. And we're like,
yeah.
Like you guys, that's what you guys know about.
You guys suck. Soccer. And now they hate us even more in Europe now.
Yeah. So I'm actively rooting against Wrexham. And the big deal was that they had a game on ESPN2 this weekend. And it's like, why? Why? Why did we need that? Nobody wanted that. Nobody asked for that. Nope. But we got it. Oh, that's my rant on Wrexham FC.
That was brilliant.
I hope they go down to the sixth division, honestly.
I didn't even know there was
That'd
a sixth.
Is that a thing?
Does that exist?
I actually don't know.
How many do they have?
I like to imagine they're just like infinite leagues. Like it just keeps going down until you're like, you know, it's like 50. Mm-hmm. 50
until you're like in middle school. Sixth. Like you're like middle school, like elementary school league.
Oh,
that's crazy. I agree. I'm against them.
But who I am rooting for, well, who I'm actually rooting for is the Phillies. But I do like watching the Dodgers I loved watching the Dodgers lose to the Padres. Mm-hmm. And my favorite part about it is the lucky goose. The goose that got loose on the field after before the Padres had won a single game this series, a goose got loose on the field and it turned out to be the Padres' lucky goose and they haven't lost a game since. I love that storyline. And I love just wacky stuff in sports that makes no sense. Like, there just so happened to be a goose on the field, and they haven't lost since. And all of Padre Nation is just like, that's why we're winning. Because a goose got
We should make a team. Why don't we make a t-shirt with a goose on it?
Yeah, we probably... Now you're thinking. Clip this off, and
we're making
lucky goose shirts with a Dodgers hat on it.
Put a jersey on it, put a hat on it.
No, not someone out there. We'll do it.
We'll do it. We could get commission. Yeah. Okay, yeah. We'll do that.
Yeah, we'll just
never
do
mind.
It.
No, don't do that.
If you're watching this, don't take
we just
that
copyrighted
idea.
It. So
yeah, the trademark's filed. So you guys are.
I don't get why that story was so big. I just saw it everywhere. I'm like, why is like how I didn't watch the game. How long was the goose there?
Like I don't know, 10 minutes maybe to get it off.
Bro,
the field.
It was like the biggest story in sports.
Well, it also kind of looked like a turtle, so it was like a turtle goose, like a lucky turtle goose, and it was awesome. It's just awesome. I don't know what it is, but that stuff's awesome. It's just awesome. Sports are just awesome. Okay,
sports are awesome.
I also hate geese. I'll be honest.
Oh, me too. I like the lucky goose, but I hate geese. Because geese have teeth, dude. They bite. And they're not afraid to bite.
They're vicious. Yeah, they're not. I was running somewhere, and I ran down, and I didn't see around the corner. It's like a mother goose sitting on her nest, literally run into the goose. And it starts hissing at me.
Yeah.
I was fighting for my life. Oh, my God. I was actually thinking.
Everywhere.
Right? I was thinking when I'm running, I'm like, what if I turn around and just punch this thing in the face? Right? Like, what? Could I take it out? And no, I just kept running.
They have teeth, dude. It'd probably bite you. You wouldn't leave unscarred. I'll say that.
Honestly, terrible animals. And now, especially in Boston. Bro, they're like everywhere.
Literally everywhere. It's like, well, last thing. Ben, what's Mario Edward's deal with the chain of his face?
Oh my God. Oh, I don't even know how to describe it without it's just he has a chain and it's just like it's just his face on it and he wears it and it's the weirdest thing ever. It's so strange. And it's like from a picture of him too. He literally just showed these people like a picture. And it's like, yeah, make this a chain. And it doesn't look good. It's really weird. And it's just like, I can't think of...
It's almost like, what was it, Ronaldo? When they like made the statue of Ronaldo's... They made the bust of Ronaldo and it looks nothing like Ronaldo.
That's literally what it is. It's like it's the same vibe. Because it's just... It looks so bad and weird. And I... Like, it's genuinely scary.
But I think there's probably something with, like, having... I just don't have that kind of money. But I imagine if I had that kind of money, like, nobody in your crew probably wants to tell you that it doesn't look good. Because...
Yeah.
Like, that's where your paycheck's coming from. Like, if you're his... Like, one of the guys in his entourage, are you going to be the one that's like, bro, that chain you spent $100,000 on looks like dog shit? Because there goes your paycheck.
Like, hey, that's the worst thing I've ever seen. I'll be honest. I don't know. Would you guys get a chain like that? You know, if I had
that kind of money, who knows?
Possibly.
Like, it's so possibly easy for me to sit here and be like, no, I'd never do that. But if I had
that money, like, that's hilarious also.
Yeah.
Like, it's imagine absolutely you're
like,
insane.
Imagine just like showing up, you're like, dude, that do you something fucking chain of your face made of diamonds? Like, fuck yeah, dude. I got fucking millions of dollars. What else am I going to do with it?
Just showing up to your high school reunion with like the massive chain and everyone's like, that guy sucks.
Of your own face.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I kind of think I'm kind of like, that guy's kind of a legend. Like the balls to do that. Just chain your face.
But not like, okay, here's the thing. It's like, you look at someone, you're like, yeah, that guy's a legend, but I don't want to be that guy.
Oh, no. Mm-hmm.
But
if I had that money, who's to say I'm not that guy? I don't know.
It's like someone like just getting really drunk and doing something stupid. And you're like, that guy's a legend. I want to be that guy. Yeah. I want to watch that guy.
You want to say that guy's a legend. You don't want to be the legend.
I don't want to be that guy. Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's how I feel about this situation. But if I did have that money, I might be that guy. There's a lot of guys that could be in this scenario.
I think every guy could be in that scenario. Like, it's so easy to say you're not that guy when you don't have that money. But as soon as you get the money changes you, dude. And also, if you have the money, like, I don't know. You got to spend it on something stupid. Might as well spend it on that, I guess. But jump into who you got. I'm gonna start us out here. Start, bench, cut. Randy Moss, Chris Carter, Justin Jefferson. This one's been taking the internet by storm. Personally, I actually think it's really straightforward. I'm starting Randy Moss, who I think is one of the two best receivers of all time. I'm benching Chris Carter, who I think was the second best receiver of the 90s. And I am cutting Justin Jefferson, which to like 8-year-olds who play Madden everywhere is probably hearsay. But I just think like let's see it for another 5 years before I like go and put him in the same breath as Randy Moss and Chris Carter. I'm not saying he can't be. I'm not saying he hasn't played at that level, but I don't think he's done it for long enough to like garner me starting or benching him over Chris Carter or Randy Moss. And Randy Moss, I think, is best or second best receiver of all time. Chris Carter was on the first team all 90s. So, and it was him and Jerry Rice. So, like, I don't know. I can't justify cutting one of those guys in favor of Justin Jefferson.
Well, I'm going to be irrational. And I'm going to...
Someone's got to do it.
Someone's got to do it, right? I'm going to keep Randy Moss on the start. I think that's great. But I am going to flip Justin Jefferson for Chris Carter. I'm going to be honest. I really don't have a reason for it. I just think Justin Jefferson's been hyped this year and last year. So, Justin Jefferson, you're on the bench. Chris Carter, you know, good luck out there. Go find a good team that's good for you. But you're getting cut, son. So,
what's crazy, though, is you're not the only person who said that. I've seen people say, like, cut Randy Moss. I've seen people say start Justin Jefferson.
I mean, if you're,
I'm
if
not
you're
going
cutting,
that far.
If you're cutting Randy Moss, you
automatically disqualified.
I'm definitely a start Randy Moss guy. Justin Jefferson just seems like a better culture guy, you know. That's all
based,
I'm saying.
Based on what, though? I think Chris Carter is a big culture guy too.
Based on
I grew up, that's, I grew up that's watching him on NFL Live every single Sunday. Boom! Yeah, you just got jacked up. Like, that's a cultural movement right there.
I mean, I'll be like, there's no reason why he's just more recent in my memory.
I think that Chris Carter, though, is like a culture guy, though. But Justin Jefferson did basically invent the grid.
Right. Yeah, but like not.
That's pretty big culture. That's pretty big culture. I don't know.
Bad? Is it like turned the other way where it's bad at this point?
I mean, we got Mike Gesicki doing like the worst.
Mike Gesicki ruined.
I think Mac Jones is so bad. I think Mac Jones should have been they should have tackled him. The security guard should have like ran out and tackled him. He just like did it a little bit too like weird. Like, his hands are going too far out. He looks like some fairy king in it.
That's probably one you want to practice in front of a couple of your boys first. And be like, am I doing it right?
Do you think they do? No. Do you think all these NFL players are in the mirror just before the game?
Just in front of the mirror?
Some of them.
I would... Mac Jones, I wouldn't be shocked. Not at all.
No, if Mac Jones just seems like screams almost like guy who like wants to be cool so bad. That's he's almost like Andy Bernard in The Office. Like he like wants. He's trying so hard to be cool. It's like, dude, just chill out. Just be a dude.
Just be you.
Yeah.
This debate though really comes down to like your general knowledge and how recent of a fan you are, because like. I know enough to know Randy Moss is just too dominant to not start, in my opinion. But I also don't know enough to know that Justin Jefferson shouldn't be on the bench over Chris Carter. So, I think that's like really what it shows. It's just how much of a fan you really are of the NFL, how much history you know.
I think a lot of my understanding of Chris Carter is from his Twitter, and his Twitter is so weird sometimes. Like he had this one, it's just so weird. It's like he had these sponsored tweets with Skechers, and it almost looked like he had like his daughter just like take random pictures of him walking the dogs, and he's like, "Hey, here I am with my @Skechers #Skechers." Like what?
Was there a gun pointed to your head
as you were posting this? Like it actually seems like a bot just posted it. Some Skechers marketing bot. Weird. Sometimes weird vibes. Sometimes good vibes. Like when he said that Brady roughing the passer call, he like tweeted out that Brady roughing the passer call was the worst call of the season. which I agree with. I think it wasn't good, but anyway.
Nano, which brings me to your who you got though, which I'm my who you got. Everybody thinks.
Yeah, I think this one's going to be a throwback to our individual childhoods, growing up playing ball, whatever you were doing. What is the better option? Hooping, baseball, T-ball, post-game orange slices, soccer.
With the mini nets.
So post-game orange slices or Gatorade in a juice box. What you got?
What do you have? It's a tough one. You go first because you brought the question.
Yeah, I don't want to be too polarizing like the getting punched in the face one.
I'm going to say orange slices. I'm going to say orange slices, though, because I feel like those are just so iconic. And, like, man, coming off the field or coming whatever I was doing, seeing that, like, Tupperware of, like, orange slices just from mom, man, those just hit different. So that's my pick.
I think I kind of have a hot take on this one. I'm taking Gatorade in a juice box. And it's because a couple years ago, I played in a charity lacrosse tournament. And at halftime, somebody brought orange slices. And in my head, I was like, oh, just like growing up, halftime orange slices. And I was housing orange slices. And it was the best ever. And then I had to play the second half. And I was cramping up like crazy. It was terrible playing after eating. And I had like, I don't know, like 8 orange slices or something, which is really just like 1 orange. And I felt terrible. I like barely move, cramping up like crazy. I think the orange slices are crazy overrated. And I actually think that drinking Gatorade out of a juice box is the best way to drink Gatorade. It hits different. When it's cold, out of that juice box, you can just suck it down out of the straw. There is no better way to drink Gatorade than out of a juice box. And that's why I got to take the juice box.
So I'm going to get you with a technicality here.
Okay.
The question was post-game orange slices.
Ooh.
Does that change it? Does that change it at all? Because, like, halftime, yeah, Gatorade.
Checkmate.
Yeah, no, that's a good question.
Because even you just
said that's a good question. That's a good, it's a really good question.
You were just saying
that.
Wow.
Wow. You put my mind in a pretzel. I am a noodle brain over this question. My brain is like just noodle. You know, and your like brain just, it's like a noodle soup up there.
I think Socrates turn my brain talked into about noodle soup. This question noodle a lot soup. Too.
I gotta stick to my and guns okay and stick with the Gatorade. Okay. I gotta stick with the guns.
I respect that.
You know, I'll, but now see, I don't know. I'll be honest. I'll be honest here. Like, see, if I'm thinking long term, and this podcast blows up, and we need a sponsorship, we want to keep the Gatorade one open. You know,
but that's a big one. But there are orange slice, or orange companies.
Name 5. Name 2.
Tropicana.
They're just orange juice.
And cuties. But that might be tangerines. Or clementines. Big Florida. Yeah.
Okay. Like
big
haven't
pharma.
Heard of them.
Big Pharma.
We got a Big Pharma sponsor. That we would get a bag. Oh my big god. Pharma. That would be crazy if we got a big
Florida. I think big Florida oranges would probably throw us a bag too, though. I think that's kind of their main import export is oranges.
I think
shout out big Florida.
It's actually a really hard question, and it was so simple to me when I was thinking at halftime. But
see, here's how I'm picturing both in a perfect scenario where the orange slices are like cold.
Yeah,
The Gatorade is like iced a little bit, you know.
When the orange slices like, too, it's like someone's mom cut those, and she cut them with love.
I'm going orange slices.
Yeah,
I'm going orange slices. No offense to Gatorade.
That's the right answer.
I love the fruit punch flavor. Would be my favorite.
Yeah, Gatorade. That's the best one out of the box.
And feel free to sponsor us. You know.
See, that's the thing. I'll give Gatorade this. They've adapted over the years and changed like that new Gatorade bottle that like has the twisty, like, and you suck on it a little bit.
Yeah.
That's elite.
Oh.
Pause.
You're a weirdo. Yeah,
twisted and
you're a weirdo.
But all I'm saying, though, at the end of it all, is orange slices are just too iconic for my childhood. That's why I couldn't skip on them.
Fair enough. All right,
Ben, what's your...
I'm kind of in between saying this one or changing it to make it like a football one.
I liked the one you had, and I was putting a lot of thought into it. Yeah.
I mean, if you ever thought about it so much, who would you rather have on your team? Prime Shaq or Prime Curry?
So Prime Curry would be like 2016 when they won 73 games, and he was just unstoppable, right? And Prime Shaq, I'm guessing, would be 2000.
I don't know what you had. I'm not old. Whenever he was good, we all know that he was good at one point. Just
I'm taking Prime Shaq. I just don't think there was anything even close to Prime Shaq. He was actually
also preface in today's NBA as well.
Yeah, in today's NBA, maybe even more so, because I don't think anybody can fucking guard him in today's NBA. Who's gonna stop Prime Shaq right now?
James
Rudy Gobert,
yeah, to name one.
Rudy Gobert couldn't even stop, his like nose from sneezing. So, what's he gonna do?
What do you mean by that?
I don't know. I've got a noodle brain right now.
Especially
Rudy Gobert couldn't stop a cold.
True.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I mean, Rudy Gobert kind of started COVID. That's where I was going with that.
Okay.
People forget that.
People forget that Rudy Gobert was patient zero.
Yeah, people do forget that, and I'm here to remind them of that. I think Prime Shaq was just way too dominant, and I think that not saying that Prime Curry isn't super dominant, but because he obviously is, but I think you can slow him down a little bit. I don't think you can slow down Shaq whatsoever in his prime.
Here's the thing, because you said it was today's NBA, I have to go with Shaq, because look at the people who are dominant right now in the game. You got Embiid, you got
Joker.
Those
are the top two in the
Giannis.
MVP race. And Shaq said that if he was in the NBA today, he thinks that he would play like Giannis does.
Yeah. I think he'd be better than Giannis right now, to be honest. I don't think that's a hot take, but I mean, like, seriously, like, there's a lot of players who can shoot the three. And I'm not saying they can shoot the three like Curry, but there's not enough players that are like Shaq, like Embiid, like Joker, like Giannis, that can replace that big man bully ball, get you the easy two, dunk over your head. There's just not enough of those. So that's why I got to take Shaq easy on that one.
So I'm gonna do a little mind bender here. I think if you look at the top players, right, they're scoring a large amount of their points from the free throw line. Shaq isn't, Shaq is not dropping points. I think they're drawing fouls off Shaq all day because he's just massive. And you just run into him and pretend like you're shooting and then fall to the ground and act like you broke your back. I think people would draw so many fouls off him. I don't think Shaq's not the type to really draw a foul.
I think the opposite. He is. They made a whole game plan for him called Hack a Shaq to try to stop him, where you just send a player to just foul out against him, basically, because him shooting free throws was a better chance at stopping him than
exactly. Like, but that's the thing, because he can't make these free throws.
But then that puts your team in the bonus. Like, he was just like a immovable force in his prime. Mm-hmm. Literally no one could stop him. Unless maybe you had prime Wilt against prime Shaq. Like, that's really the only other guy in NBA history, I think. That maybe Russell.
Yeah. I would be curious to see, though, how people would guard him in today's NBA.
It'd be exactly like they do with Embiid or any of those guys we listed off earlier, where they're just try your best, man. Yeah. Like, see what you can do. But he's probably going to end up getting 20 to 30 on the night anyways.
Pounds on Embiid or those guys, he just walk out.
Oh my god,
his back, he could back down so many people. I think, yeah, I don't know. I think it's also an interesting question of like what, like how much has the NBA really evolved? You know,
so much.
I think I'm going to Shaq.
I think the argument for Curry potentially is culture. Like, he's created that whole winning culture in Golden State and been the face of that. Whereas like Shaq, you know, obviously Kobe didn't like how uncommitted he is. Like, I think that if you're taking Shaq, you kind of know you only have him in his prime for so long. Like, Curry's had a really long prime because, you know, of his commitment level, and, you know, he's obviously seems like a pretty upstanding guy and like the guy that you'd want as the leader of your team.
I think that's what really can change the question in Curry's favor too, is if instead of saying like, would you rather have just like on a one-off, I think if the question was more like, who would you rather build a team around? That's when you start asking, okay, maybe Curry, because at least you can guarantee, as long as Curry is like moderately happy or at least confident in the front office, he's going to stick around for a while. Whereas Shaq, you know, like you're mentioning, his commitment levels, you can't really predict. So
this does actually kind of lead into what I'm looking forward to next week, which is NBA starting and specifically opening night Warriors versus Lakers, which, you know, Shaq's former team, Steph's current team. Because I think that the Lakers might be a trade suitor potentially for Draymond Green, because all summer Draymond Green has been like dropping hints that he's just basically obsessed with LeBron. Obviously, he was at LeBron's wedding this summer. He just bought a pickleball team with LeBron. And then on his most recent episode of his podcast, he was like, yeah, we finally made it to episode 18. Also, how many All-Star games LeBron James has? It's like the dude is just like riding for LeBron. That's like, so I've strange. Never seen before. Like,
what a weird.
So clearly he wants to go and play with LeBron. The thing is, I think if you're the Warriors, you can't trade him to the Lakers, knowing that that's like a potential in-conference rival. Like, I think that the likely scenario is that they either just play out the season with Draymond and know that they won't get anything in return for him because he'll probably leave in the off season, or you trade him by the trade deadline to a shitty team and try to get back what you can, knowing that Draymond is probably going to go to the Lakers the year after anyways.
I mean, honestly, like, the Lakers have shown what they could do with like all the star power they have. I wouldn't really care if Draymond's over there. Yeah. If I'm in Golden State, like, honestly, you think about who they have, like who they had last season, who they have this season.
It's going to be interesting opening night, I think, to see Draymond, who knows? Like, maybe he's trying to pass the ball to LeBron because he wants him to score that.
A lot of turnovers.
With chaos in Golden State. But it seems like potentially Kyrie wants to go to the Lakers and Draymond wants to go to the Lakers. Like, I'd be curious if maybe Draymond takes a team-friendly deal with the Lakers next offseason. Kyrie finds a way to get there, and it's Kyrie, Draymond, and LeBron on the same team together would be awesome for entertainment purposes. It would inevitably blow up in everyone's face.
Naturally.
But I would love to watch it happen and watch the whole building burn as like Draymond yells at Anthony Davis because he can't stay healthy and stay on the court. And that's like him being soft or something.
That kind of feels like a callback to your earlier comment about watching the good teams fall apart. Is that what you're rooting for? Is that where your interest actually lies?
Yeah. Just chaos in general is what I'm starting to realize. I might just be rooting for.
I respect
for
it.
The downfall of
society. I mean, and if Westbrook is still there too, I mean, that'd be hilarious. Not that he will be. There's no shot he'll be there next year, but it would just be the funniest thing to see
crazy seeing some of the clips that are coming out and stuff of like Russ. Pre-game, kind of off to the side by himself. Pat Bev at one point was like trying to bring the whole defense together.
And that was a just bad like, look. No. That's a bad look for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and it's like everyone obviously reading into it, and it's everyone's like a TMZ reporter whenever they see that. Like, it's awesome. Twitter.
I'm guilty of it myself.
And there's obviously like it's the truth is somewhere in the middle. He's probably not doing. It's probably a lot of overhype on what's actually happening, but it's pretty clear the Lakers are ready to move on from him, I think. He's ready to move on from them.
Here's an interesting trade proposal. So, what about just Westbrook for Draymond straight up?
There's no Westbrook shot
is such a culture killer, it's not even like...
No, you couldn't give Westbrook to Golden State.
I'm rooting for it.
No.
It's,
there's no way there's Golden no, State takes
no
that.
There's no way, but I'm rooting for it.
Honestly, do you have anything exciting? Before I say my piece about the NBA season, because I'm a Knicks fan, so I'm never excited for the NBA season. What about you, Nando? Do you have anything?
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited for the NBA, too, coming back. Both of our teams, Celtics 76ers, are playing each other first. I'm excited to see Embiid back on the floor. Harden apparently looking really strong.
Yeah, I can't wait for
Maxey on this next year.
As usually
do. Yeah, man, it's gonna be we're going all the way this year. I'm gonna be rational about that. Until Pittsburgh gets a basketball team, unfortunately I'm relegated to a 76ers fan. So we're going all the way.
That's fair enough. I'm wearing my
rational Sixers fan. You guys are gonna lose this.
Sane Sixers fan
Honestly,
the Celtics or the Bucks or potentially the Nets, there's no way.
I mean, the way Ben Simmons has been playing, I don't know about that.
You guys will just lose in the second round.
Honestly,
probably.
I get excited for the season, and then I'm like, don't. It's like
the storylines in the NBA are just so good. That's what's so.
Yeah, but from a Knicks fan, right? It's just nothing the management ever does it never follows a rational thought process. It's always like, let's get a blindfolded toddler to throw darts at a board, and that's how we're going to trade our players. And, like, Kemba Walker, I loved Kemba Walker. I'm a big Connecticut guy, and that, like, a UConn Huskies run was, like, the biggest thing to ever happen to Connecticut sports. Like, even this, like, this is what I'm doing now. This is, like, the AAA team, the AAA baseball team for the Hartford Yardcoats.
To imagine that the Knicks make organizational moves, kind of like a frat bro just hanging out with his boys. Like, dude, remember Kemba Walker? Like, how dope he was at Connecticut? What if, dude, he's from New York. We get him in the Big Apple. He's just like he was at UConn. Who else should we get? Tingus Pingus? He's a unicorn, bro. We got a unicorn and the guy from UConn, and we're good to go. Like, I don't know.
Like, I look at our roster, and it's not it. And it never will be it until it is. And then I will publicly post about the New York Knicks. Because I went through a phase where I would, like, post on my Instagram story, like, repost Knicks stuff. I'm over it now. Too long. I've just been shamed into solitude. But also,
well,
you know what?
Tell us something you are excited about, though.
You know what? Not even sports. House of the Dragon. I haven't watched it. We're recording
right
now over the episode, which kind of pissed me off. I won't lie, but I cannot wait for that final episode to come out. And I'll be honest, I've been a total loser. Like I was like, okay, what book is this? And I read the book is 700 pages long. Which is absurd.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a history of, like, all the Targaryens, all the dragon people. And it took me 430 pages to get to the people that they mention in the TV series. So now I already know what happens in the TV series. So I'm just, like, holding it over everyone's head. And if they piss me off, I can just tell them, like, how it ends.
Spoil it.
Yeah, there's
them.
Still, like, 3 seasons left. I could spoil the whole thing if I wanted to.
So you read up to where they go to?
Yeah, I've already finished this. Like, I already know what happens throughout the whole storyline of this. So I think they said it's going to be 4 seasons.
Yeah.
This season is kind of like a prologue to what is, like, the really big story. And these characters are already, like, in the history books, kind of where the book ends. But I'm hyped. I'm so hyped for that. And if anybody watching isn't watching House of the Dragon, get on it.
Watch it. Yeah. What's been your favorite part from the season so far?
Oh, I'm trying to, like, what's, like, a spoiler? list thing.
Oh, I've spoilers. I can take off my head.
No, but like for all of our
I'll just say go watch. Let's just end the episode here. Everybody just go watch it.
Just go watch. Turn this off.
Yeah, turn this off.
Flick on that old TV.
The telly.
Give HBO your credit card numbers. With the three wacky numbers on the back of your credit card.
And maybe share those with us too, if you
Drop your credit card info, three numbers on the back, expiration dates, drop it in the comment section, and the winner gets a $5 gift card to Applebee's.
Yeah. And make sure you also give us like your zip code with that and full name on the credit card.
If it's debit, gonna need the PIN.
And let us know that it's debit too. And if it's credit, we'll just assume it's credit if you mention otherwise.
We'll do that for you.
And make sure it's the whole thing. And we'll need the expiration.
Just send us a picture.
Just front and back, just to be safe. Just forget commenting it, because then anybody can get it. Just DM it to us, front and back picture, and we'll
get that. We'll get you an HBO.
We'll message you back if you need anything. If you need any other details.
Amen.
All right. Yeah. Well, thanks, episode two in the books. Thanks for watching, and tune in for episode 3.
Woo!